I invite you to take your Bible in hand and turn to Psalm 134. We're going to read the three verses of that psalm this morning. If you're using one of the Bibles in the pew, you'll want to turn to page 519. And if you do not own a Bible, we would love for you to accept that Bible in the pew as a gift from Bethany this morning. We come today to the end of our journey of study through the Psalms of Ascent. You know, in the first sermon in this series, I said that journey is a good word for us to use concerning our study of these Psalms. These 15 Psalms were organized around the journey the Lord's people in the Old Testament would make up to Jerusalem, to home, for the great festivals of worship at the temple where the Lord's presence dwelt among them. And that journey symbolized the whole journey of life for the Lord's people on our way home to the Lord's presence. These are pilgrim songs. They teach us about how the Lord's people are to navigate the journey of life to the presence of our Lord, to home. And on this last day of the year, we will read the last pilgrim song. The journey began in Psalm 120 with the pilgrim crying out in his distress, living in a godless land. And then the pilgrim plodded on toward Jerusalem, toward home, looking up to the Lord, trusting that the Lord would be his keep, his fortress, his guard. And looking up to the Lord has been the theme that has run throughout the journey. When the pilgrims finally came together, there was joy, there was love for one another as the Lord's people, looking up to Him who is always our help in every time of trouble. We are safe and surrounded by the Lord who has done great things for us. We can fight the worries of life by living in the fear of the Lord, who gives us rest in a world that brings persecution upon the Lord's people. We can come to the Lord, who gives us mercy when we confess in the miseries of our own sin and cry out to Him. We can rest in the Lord, who gives us peace and quiet in our souls as we trust in His sovereign care. The Lord's promise is the ground of our faith, and our unity as His people is blessing coming down from Him. That's a summary of the journey we have taken in the Psalms of Ascent. Looking upward to the Lord has been the theme that's run throughout the journey. And that theme has its exclamation point in this final pilgrim song. It's been said that all is well that ends well. And we find that to be true as we come to this last psalm of ascent. A journey that began with a cry of distress ends with showers of blessing. That's the journey I want to be on. How about you? Give your full attention to the reading of God's Word. A song of ascents. Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, He who made heaven and earth. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for all that You have taught us as we have made this journey of study together through these wonderful 15 Psalms You have inspired. We thank You for what they have taught us concerning how we as Your people are to navigate the journey of life as Your people. And we pray, God, now that You would bless the reading and now the preaching of this final Psalm of Ascent. Bless our ears that we might hear clearly, so that we might hear Jesus, our shepherd, and follow after Him who is our King and our great High Priest. We pray that you would bless this preaching of your word for the building up of your church. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 134 has two parts to it. And our gathered worship each Lord's Day is patterned after those two parts. Part one is a call to worship. And a call to worship is involved in our invocation every Sunday when we come together. Part two is a benediction. And we conclude our service of worship each Sunday with a benediction. As we read this song, it's clear to us that someone among the Lord's people is speaking to someone else, right? And many commentators, many Bible scholars think that what was going on here is the pilgrims, as they came into Jerusalem, part one was a call they were expressing to the priests and the Levites in the temple. The Levitical duties involved them serving day and night in the temple. And so there's a call. The pilgrims issue a call for the priests and the Levites to bless the Lord in their duties. And then part two is a response from the priests and the Levites to the pilgrims, to the people. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth. You know, as we've seen throughout our study of these Psalms, it's a good thing for us to imagine what it would have been like in those days. Who said what to whom? But in the end, both parts of this Psalm is for all of us who are the Lord's people. This is the word of the Lord. And this Psalm is a Psalm about worship going up and blessing coming down. It's a call to worship and a benediction. Part one is about blessing the Lord. This is verses 1 and 2. And part one helps us to consider our great calling to worship God. Here's the call to worship. Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. So to imagine the scene, maybe it was the pilgrims who were issuing this call to the priests and the Levites there in the temple. You know, the pilgrims arrive in Jerusalem and they go to the temple, and there are the priests and the Levites in the temple. This phrase, who stand by night in the house of the Lord, that is a reference to their Levitical duties, to their Levitical ministry. The priests and the Levites stood in the temple and ministered. There were no chairs, there were no seats in the temple furnishings. The priests and the Levites stood and ministered. There was no sitting down on the job. They offered sacrifices. They replenished the oils to keep the lamps burning. And the pilgrims called for the priests and the Levites to bless the Lord in their Levitical duties, in their labors of ministry. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. Now, the lifting up of hands was a common posture of prayer and worship. The uplifted hands signified praise, humble awe, and reverence. The uplifted hands symbolized petition, reaching out to receive the fullness of blessing from the Lord. The uplifted hands signified surrender, having laid down the selfish weapons of rebellion and submitted wholly to the Lord. So the uplifted hands were a symbol. They were signified praise, petition, and surrender. And uplifted hands continue to be a common posture today in prayer and worship. And so the call was to not just go through the motions in your duties, not just go through the motions in your labors of ministry, but be all in and bless the Lord. This call begs the question, how in the world can finite human beings Bless the infinite God. How can we who are small bless him whose greatness is unsearchable? How can subjects in a kingdom bless their king even more? How can unworthy subjects in an eternal kingdom bless the king who is himself the source of its eternity? How can we bless God? Because we're gonna get to a benediction in just a moment in which the Lord blesses us. So how does the call to worship and the benediction relate to one another? Well, it'll help us if we get a handle on the word bless. Let's start there. The word bless appears hundreds of times in the Bible in various forms. And the word bless is associated with the word kneel. So for us to bless the Lord is associated with the act of kneeling. So for us to bless the Lord, just picture it. For us to bless the Lord, we kneel before his throne. And we focus on his awesome nature, trusting that he will respond to us from that awesome nature. For the Lord to bless us, he looks upon our nature and responds to us according to our nature. For us to bless the Lord, we respond according to what he is due. For the Lord to bless us, he responds according to what we need. So that's the relation. We see a relationship. It's a relationship between this call to worship and the benediction. But there's a vast difference between the blessing going up and the blessing coming down. When we bless the Lord, we do not give to him anything that he needs. God has no need. It is utterly impossible for us to add anything to the infinite God. To bless the Lord means that we acknowledge him, who he is, and we give witness to his awesome nature. To bless the Lord means that with our lips and with our lives, we declare that God is great and God is good. To bless the Lord means that we respond to him with reverent fear and dependence and with humble thanksgiving and joy and praise. Our blessing the Lord could never match the Lord's goodness and greatness, right? Our blessing the Lord could never match his goodness and his greatness, but we can bless the Lord to the utmost of our ability. And so Psalm 48 begins, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." And Psalm 103 begins, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Because of who he is, to love him with all of your heart and soul and mind and strength, this is what it means to bless the Lord. This is the call to worship. It's a call to declare in our pilgrimage, with our lips and with our lives, that a life lived in reverent fear and dependence and humble thanksgiving and joy and praise to the Lord is the best path to take. It's the best journey to make. It's the only path of life that leads to happiness. No other path will do. It is to declare with our lives and with our lives and our lips in our pilgrimage to declare that the Lord alone is worthy of every single meager human blessing we could give. Maybe it was the pilgrims calling for the priests and the Levites to be all in their Levitical duties, in their labors of ministry, and lift up their hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. Maybe it was the pilgrims issuing that call to the priests and the Levites, but make no mistake, the call is for all of us who are the Lord's people, and the call remains the same today. All the more so today. Because let's talk about our priest. We have a priest. We have a priest who has laid down himself as the perfect sacrifice for our sin. Upon his death, his resurrection, and his ascension unto heaven, Jesus, our great high priest, the writer of Hebrews tells us that he has entered into the Holy of Holies in heaven. And you know what he did? He sat down. You know why he sat down? Because the job was done. The sacrifice for our sins was finished in full. Jesus, the great high priest, he has in himself shown us the awesome nature of God, good and great. And by faith in him, we all now have been made into a holy priesthood. All of us, priests in Christ Jesus, and we are to encourage one another, and we're to spur one another on in serving the Lord with gladness and carrying out our duties and bearing faithful gospel witness, lifting up hands to the holy place, holy hands to the Lord. Remember what the uplifted hands signified. The uplifted hands symbolized praise, humble awe and reverence. The uplifted hands signified petition, reaching to receive the fullness of blessing from the Lord. And the uplifted hands symbolized surrender, having laid down the selfish weapons of rebellion and submitting wholly to the Lord. Search the Old Testament, search the New Testament, and we will find that to worship God in our journey of life in this fallen world, it's always going to involve praise, petition, and surrender. And continual communion with Him. This is worship in our pilgrimage. I'm not sure how much she understood at the time, but the prophetess Anna serves as a good example for us in this talk about blessing the Lord. You know, when the baby Jesus was presented at the temple there in Luke chapter 2, the Bible tells us about the prophetess Anna. It says of her, she was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer, night and day. And coming up at that very hour, that was the hour when Jesus was brought to the temple, coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of Him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. What was Anna doing when she saw the baby Jesus? She was blessing the Lord. That's what. She was following the pattern that we see laid out right here in Psalm 134. She was declaring with her lips and with her life that God is great and God is good. Come, all you servants of the Lord, and bless the Lord. And do so with all that is within you. Part two is about blessing from the Lord. This is verse 3. And part 2 helps us to consider our need and God's supreme sufficiency to supply it. Here's the benediction. May the Lord bless you from Zion, He who made heaven and earth. This verse holds the theme that runs throughout the Bible, that those who live blessing the Lord, those who live in reverent fear and dependence and in humble thanksgiving and joy and praise unto the Lord. Those who live blessing the Lord are blessed by the Lord. Now remember, for us to bless the Lord means that we respond to Him according to what He is due. And for the Lord to bless us means that He responds to us according to what we need. Our human blessing upward to the Lord could never match what He is due. It could never meet the glory that He is due, even though we offer it with all that is within us. But God's blessing downward to us is from His awesome nature. There is no lack there. The Lord's blessing from us is from His greatness and His goodness. There is no lack there. His blessing is supremely sufficient to meet our need. There is no need that the Maker of heaven and the earth cannot supply. A journey blessed by God, and a journey that ends in His blessing, is to be sought after more than anything this world has to offer. I'm going to say that again. A journey that is blessed by God and that ends in the blessing, in the Lord's blessing, is to be sought after more than anything this world has to offer. Now, in His mercy and in His patience, the Lord showers His blessing upon all mankind, even upon those who give no thought whatsoever to blessing the Lord. The Bible says that He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and He sends rain upon the just and the unjust. But it is only those who have been, by grace, have been made the Lord's people through faith in His greatness and goodness, who will enjoy God's blessing, ultimate blessing, both now and forevermore. For the blessing from the Lord is nothing short of the blessed Lord Himself. God gives Himself to those who by grace, through faith, live to bless Him. And be sure, God's blessing is infinitely larger than our blessing going up to Him. An old commentator was helpful when he wrote this: prayer and praise, which by grace are caused to ascend from our hearts to God, will certainly return in the benedictions of heaven upon our souls and bodies, our persons and our families, our church and our country. Like the vapors which, exhaled by the warmth of the sun from the earth, mount upwards into the air, but soon fall again in fruitful showers, causing the little hills to rejoice and the valleys to laugh and sing. Come, all you servants of the Lord. Bless the Lord. But, spoiler alert, let me tell you from the outset, you're going to be out blessed by the Lord. Our blessing goes up to the utmost of our ability with all that is within us. Our blessing goes up to the Lord. But it is unable to give Him all that He is due. But the Lord, His blessings come down to us from all that is within Him. And it is, well, it's able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. There's another commentator helpful when he said this: the exchange is quite unequal. To bless God is to acknowledge what He is. But to bless man, God must make of man what he is not and give man what he has not. This is what we celebrate. At the close of the years, we remember and we cherish the incarnation of the Son of God. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Hey, the Old Testament saints in Psalm 134, they went up to Jerusalem with a call to come, let's worship the Lord, let's bless the Lord. And there was this benediction, may the Lord bless you from Zion, he who makes heaven and earth. But what we celebrate is that the Lord of Zion has come down here to us. And for those of us who are in him by faith, we go to a far better place than the Old Testament saints who went up to Jerusalem. We go to a far better place than they do, because here's what the writer of Hebrews says to those whose faith is in Christ. In Hebrews chapter 12, he says, you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly, or church, same word, of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word. Oh, could he not stack up more things to bless God for? That we have come there to bless the Lord. In Psalm 134, the benediction was, may the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth. But in Ephesians chapter 1, the Bible says to all of those whose faith is in Christ, the Bible says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Oh, in Jesus, the benediction has come. So let the call to worship resound. Let us join with our lips and with our lives with what's going on already at home in heaven, both now and forevermore. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. And in the journey and at the end of the journey, we will see that indeed all is well that ends well. Come, thou fount of every blessing. Tune our hearts to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy, never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount. That's Zion. That's Jesus. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. That's one of the hymns we sing as we bless the Lord and we receive and we rejoice in the blessings that he has given us in Christ Jesus. Though our pilgrimage lies through seasons of pain and heartache, we have the blessing of the Lord himself as our strength. Though the storms of the journey are fierce, we have the blessing of the Lord himself as our shelter. Though the valley of the shadow of death has evils all around, we have the blessing of the Lord himself as our comfort. There's another hymn we sing. It was written by a man named Daniel Whittle, who came to faith in Christ as a soldier in the Union Army during the Civil War. After the war, he wrote several hymns, I believe, but he wrote one in particular that was based on Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 26, where the Lord says, I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing, and I will send down the showers in their season. They shall be showers of blessing. About a century or so after Whittle wrote that hymn, there was another soldier named Howard Rutledge, whose plane was shot down over Vietnam. And he parachuted down into a village and was immediately attacked and captured. Rutledge endured 7 years of brutal treatment in a POW camp. He was often tortured, cold and alone. In a book that he wrote some years after his release, he admitted that he had completely neglected the spiritual dimension of his life until he found himself in a POW camp in Vietnam. He said it took prison for him to realize how empty life is without God. And Rutledge began to try to recall scripture and hymns that he had heard when he was a child. Every day he would try to recall another verse, another song that he had heard. In his own words, he says, "One night there was a huge thunderstorm. It was the season of the monsoon rains, and a bolt of lightning knocked out the lights and plunged the entire prison into darkness. I had been going over hymn tunes in my mind and stopped to lie down and sleep when the rains began to fall. The darkened prison echoed with wave after wave of water. Suddenly, I was humming another song, one I had entirely forgotten since childhood. The enemy, you see, knew that the best way to break a man's resistance was to crush his spirit in a lonely cell. Some of our POWs, after solitary confinement, lay down in a fetal position and died." You know, all of this talk today about scripture and hymns may seem boring to some, but it was the way we conquered our enemy and overcame the power of death around us. The hymn that Rutledge remembered in that storm, in that prison, was Whittle's hymn. It says, "There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing sent from the Savior above." Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. At the close of this year, another year in our journey, let's consider our need and God's supreme sufficiency to supply it. And come, servants of the Lord, let us bless the Lord. When we reach the end of our journey, we'll be able to utter words like those of the 17th century pastor Richard Baxter, who once said, "I bless God. I have a well-grounded assurance of my eternal happiness and great peace and comfort within." And when Baxter was asked in the moments before he died how he was doing, these were his words: "Almost well." Come, let's bless the Lord in Jesus' name. And we'll be traveling the narrow path that leads to blessing now and forevermore. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for this precious psalm, inspired in your word to give us strength, to give us faith, to give us hope and joy, to give us peace, to give us assurance. We thank you for this precious psalm, inspired in your word, that points us always to look upward to you, to bless you with reverent fear and dependence, and with humble thanksgiving and joy and praise, to receive, eagerly receive, your abundant blessing. Blessing that is poured out to us in and through, and only in and through, Jesus Christ our Lord. God, I pray that our time, not only in this psalm, but our time in all of these psalms of ascent, would continue to bear much fruit in our individual lives as believers and in the life of this local church, that we might be passionate for your glory, that we might be passionate for the souls of our neighbors, the furthering of your kingdom, in the building up of your church. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.